thank you that that's what you're saying to us. And as we receive the birth of the Savior, we thank you, Father, for also the death and the resurrection. Because your entrance into this world transformed the world, transformed every man, woman, and child, gave them every opportunity to enter the kingdom of God because of your love, because of your peace, because of your finished work. So as we open the scriptures today, we thank you for teaching us how to trust you through every circumstance, through the death of a mom, through a surgery, through the birth of a child. Every circumstance, through the rest of our lives until the coming of the Lord Jesus, teach us to trust you. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll start out at the very beginning there, when I say the beginning, I'm going to look at John chapter 1, where he says, "In the beginning was the Word." When God began, it began with the Word. He spoke the world into existence. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. Without him was nothing made that was made. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. In verse 16 of John chapter 1, it says, "And of his fullness we have all received grace for grace." It's a gift. It's a gift. God's grace is a gift. I want to look over at John, first of all, at Psalm chapter 4. And David's in trouble as usual. Amen. Y'all know David, right? He's always in trouble of some kind. You know, we find out more about David's trouble, though, than most other people, because David testifies of it, doesn't he? He takes us into his life. He takes us into his experiences and how that the love of God and the grace of God and the mercy of God cause him to trust in God because he has a relationship with the living God. He doesn't have that same, he has the Holy Spirit as the anointing for king. And in fact, David grew in the shepherd field knowing the living God. Thank God for Jesse. And thank God that Jesse didn't get too tired to teach David. Amen? I mean, David was the last kid. In fact, he was so much the last kid that when Samuel came looking for, as you were saying, Samuel came looking for him, they forgot him. I mean, David was out in the field, out in the shepherd field, and he has all of his good-looking boys at all 18 and over. You know, they're there in the living room, and Samuel goes and stands in front of each one and said, "God, is this one? No. Is it this one? No. Is it this one? No." And they were probably stair-stepping down. You know, I like this story. He's stair-stepping down, a guy named David. He's stair-stepping down, finally says, "Is this all you got? Is this all you got? Oh, well, there's this one shepherd, kid, guy out feeding the dog. You know, he's out taking care of the shepherd." I mean, the guy had killed a lion. The guy had killed a bear. I mean, this kid was powerful. Yet, I mean, it's like we used to treat our kids, you know, or they treated me when I was a kid, you know, come back at dinner time. They didn't know what you were doing. Danny and I talked about this. You know, they didn't know what you were doing, didn't care what you was doing, just come back alive at dinner time. It's all they cared about, you know. And so David's out in the field, you know, and he is trusting God. He's killed the bear, he's killed the lion, and here Samuel is looking for the next king. And then finally they call, David! So they holler at him, and he finally comes. He comes running into the house. I'm sure he's sweaty, dirty, you know. And God said, that's it. And Samuel takes the whole thing of oil and just dumps it on top of it. But thank God that when David began to write about his experiences with God. God was with him out there killing the bear. God was with him out there killing the lion. And he was with him at every moment. And David has a relationship with God. And he learned how to trust God. So when he was out there in the field, he was hearing from God. And God had anointed him then when Samuel came, he anointed him physically. But how many know David had already been anointed as king? You know, remember Jeremiah said, I anointed you a prophet while you were still in the womb. So God anointed you, Danny, while you were still in the womb. James, he anointed you while you were still in the womb. He knew exactly what his plans are for you. I know the plans that I have for you. Of course, we're everybody's favorite verse now, you know, is Jeremiah 29:11, you know. But that's after he told them that they were going to be in bondage for 70 years. But then finally he says, but I know the plans that I have for you. Plans to bless you and to keep you. Plans not to harm you, but to give you a hope and a purpose. That's what God's plans are for you. It's not just for David, it's for Monty. It's for Paul. Paul just retired. But Paul's not finished. Sorry, Deborah. Paul's not finished. God's called him. He's laid his hand upon him. Amen? God's laid his hand upon every single one of you. Because if you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, if you have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you, God has his hand on you. So he's teaching you how to trust him. David is now, back to my original point, is he's teaching you how to trust him, and David is giving us his journal in the Psalms. So let's look at Psalm 4. To the chief musician, on Neginoth, whatever day that was, a psalm of David. Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy on me and hear my prayer. O ye sons of men, how long will you turn my glory into shame? How long will you love vanity and seek after lying, leasing? Selah. But I know that the Lord hath set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call him. Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. Selah. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness. And put your trust in the Lord. There may be many that say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. You have that expectation? Lord, lift up the light of your countenance upon us. Thou hast put gladness in my heart, more than in the time that their corn and their wine increased, more than it was time for a good crop or a big raise. You put gladness in my heart. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep. For thou, Lord, only makest me to dwell in safety. Amen. So powerful. So he says up there in verse 5, offer sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. Here, I got some trust. Got some trust. Where am I going to put it? Could I put it in my job? Could I put it in my family? Could I put it in my mom or my dad? Could I put it in my husband or my wife? Where am I going to put my trust? I've got it right here. I want to protect it. I want to. It's like putting it in a safe place. I want to put my trust somewhere that it's going. And my trust is what I lean on and rely on. You know, my mother-in-law, when we, you know, she's not real steady these days, so we want something which she can trust when she's getting up or laying or sitting down. We want something she can trust, something she can rely on, something you can trust, something you can rely on. That where can I put my trust? And he says, I will put my trust in the Lord. You know, you got all kinds of people looking for to trust in all kinds of things. But you have the thing that's going to hold you up and keep you from falling is the Lord. He loves you. He sent everything he had. Jesus. He sent his son. He took him out of glory and put him in a nasty body. Just so he could live just like you, take on all of your sin, and then when you put your hope and faith in him, trust in him, he's reliable. Jesus is reliable to carry all of your needs. He's not dependent on you to do a bunch of stuff. He wants you to depend on him to do a bunch of stuff. Amen? So, I mean, you're not trying to please him in the sense. You're pleasing God after you know him. Amen? You're pleasing him after you know him. You know, you're not trying to please him so you can get in. So you can get in the door. He said, I came that you might have life. I came that you might have life and have it abundantly. I've got it, and I want to give it to you. And I know you guys all know this, and it's all good preaching. But what he wants then for you to do is just not worry about the circumstances that are going on in the world, but to love everybody who comes into your orbit. Amen? I mean, you can be angry at them. You can be disappointed in them. Our nature, our old man nature, even the hypocritic nature that comes with being religious is you want people to shape up and straighten up so that they can be blessed of God. Amen? You need to straighten up and be so you can be blessed of God. How about if you just receive his forgiveness? Teach people how to receive the forgiveness of God, not how to behave. Don't teach it. Now, little kid, teach them. Don't hit your brother. You know. But you teach them the love of God. You teach them how much God loves them. And that everything they need is because God loves them, and everything they're missing is not because somebody stole it from them. You remember Robert Moore, one of our brother Robert Moore, he used to preach that the golden rule that we teach is do others before they do you. You know, that's the golden rule of this world. Amen. You know, another friend of mine said God, the gospel ends up being, you know, get all you can all you get, and sit on the can. You know who that is. Yeah. So, but God, listen, God's taking care of everything that concerns. He will perfect that which concerns you. Amen? All right. Now I want to look over at Psalm chapter 31. And we're going to get some pieces of it. I'm not going to read the whole thing. Psalm chapter 31 to the chief musician. David likes musicians. He likes music. Amen. Praise God. Put this to music. In thee, O Lord, Psalm 31, verse 1. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Okay, there he is again. He's putting his trust in the... Where do I put this? You're putting your trust, your weight, the weight of your, you know, whole desire to rely on something right here. You're putting all your gold in that basket. You're putting all your money in that stock. You know, what they tell you not to do. You're supposed to diversify. He said, no, don't diversify. Put it all in me. I got friends. I got guys who have about six or eight pastors, and they try them all out. You know, they call them all. Yeah, hey brother, about everything that they got going on, and so they want about. Now, granted, there's wisdom in the multitude of counselors, but there's also can be confusion. And so you have to have a relationship with the living God, not just. You know, the reason there's wisdom in a multitude of counselors, you know why? It's because they'll stop you. They'll slow you down. That's good. You want people to slow you down so you don't get in on a bunch of stupid stuff. Amen? You want people to tell you, no, don't do that. You know, you want five people telling you that. You know, you don't want five different opinions on, you know, how you could lose all your money. Because you could. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in thy righteousness. That righteousness, the righteousness of God will deliver you. Now, how do I get that? Faith that God has already taken care of everything that concerns you, even though you don't see it yet. Don't fear. Thank Him. Praise Him. Amen? Give Him thanks. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Put your trust, rely on Him, because He's reliable. And so what that in turn says is don't fear. Do not fear the world. Do not fear circumstances. Do not fear politics. Don't fear. Don't fear the coming of the Lord. Read the book of Revelation with joy. I can't, brother. It's scary. No, the Bible over in Revelation chapter 1 says, happy is he who reads the words of this book. Happy are you if you read read and keep the words of this book. Read it. Read it again. Read it again. Don't just read it once in your lifetime. Read the book of Revelation. Don't figure it out. Just read it. And let it come on the inside of you. Telling you what, reading the Word of God in the Bible is not about figuring it out. But reading the Word of God and reading the Bible is about letting the Holy Spirit talk to you. You're learning the voice of God. You're learning to hear His voice. You're learning what His voice sounds like. You don't remember all the stories, but you're remembering what His voice sounds like, and then when you're quiet, you'll hear it. And you'll recognize it. So put your trust in the Lord. The verse 2 says, bow down, again, Psalm 31, verse 2, bow down thine ear to me, talking to the Lord. Deliver me speedily. Be thou my strong rock for a house of defense to save me. For thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. I'm going to give testimony to you, God. Lead me, guide me, so I can say God did that. Pull me out of the net that they have laid secretly for me. For you are my strength. Into thy hand. Oh, this sounds familiar. Into thy hand I commit my spirit. Sounds like Jesus. See, so much of the Psalms also are prophetic for some of the things that Jesus went through. Into thy hands I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. Verse 12 is good. I am forgotten as a dead man out of mind. You know, we just forget people. You know, you like to think you're going to remember people, but or they like to think you're going to remember them, but you know, out of sight, out of mind. People are gone. So David's saying that of himself. I'm forgotten as a dead man, out of mind. I am like a broken vessel. Anybody ever felt like that? The enemy loves to come in and put that on you. The enemy loves to come and put deadness on you. Fear on you. People who are depressed. They're looking like there's no way out. Don't get out. Don't get out. Quit looking for a way out. Just let the Holy Spirit wash over you. Say, Jesus, thank you that you promised you'd never leave me or forsake me. Because the enemy loves to put you in a situation where it looks like you're in big trouble and you can't get out. And this will never end. Yeah, Job was like that, wasn't he? Job was in a big mess. But God began to reveal himself to Job. And then finally, of course, took 42 chapters to get there, you know, and a bunch of good friends. Brother, let's find out what your sin is. You know, that's what his friends were all sitting around. You know, they mourned with him for about a week. They were better off when they didn't say anything. You know, you always want people to come sit with you, but it's better if they don't say anything. Yeah, it's good to have people with you. Just don't talk. Because then they're trying to figure out what you did wrong to get there. But you want to hear the voice of Jesus. You want to hear the voice of the Lord. Then finally, of course, chapter 42, you know, where were you when I made the world and where I made the hippopotamus and where were you when I made all of this? Well, golly, Lord, you know, I thought you was going to have a little mercy on me, but now you're kind of being hard on me. But the fact is, finally, Job figured out. He said, you know what? I see the love of God. I see that God is on my side, and he's for me, and he's never against me. I thought I knew you because I heard about how I was supposed to behave and give all these sacrifices. He was sacrificing for all of his kids. I mean, he was going 100 miles an hour trying to do everything. He never had time to hear God. People go 100 miles an hour trying to do things for God. They never hear him. Because you heard you're supposed to serve God. How many know God wants to walk in you and use you, but he doesn't want you to serve him. He doesn't need a glass of water and another board of charcuterie. You know, that's Buddha. He wants beer. You know, all these, remember all these mythical gods, you know, you'd have to bring them food, bring them all your best, all your stuff. God just says, bring it. The testimony or the type and shadow is, bring God's sacrifices of the first fruits, but just to honor him. But then what happens is God overwhelmingly blesses you. He's teaching you how to receive his best. God is teaching you. Put your trust in the Lord. Not in your works, not in your strength. Give your strength to him. Look at verse 14. But I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my God. My times are in thy hand. Deliver me. This is chapter again, Psalm 31, starting with verse 14. I trusted in thee, O Lord, I said, thou art my God. Say that. Thou art my God. Thou art my God. My times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of my enemies and from them that persecute me. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant. Save me for thy mercy's sake. Let me not be ashamed, O Lord, for I have called upon thee. Let the wicked be ashamed. And let them be silent in the grave. Let the lying lips be put to silence, which speak grievous things proudly and contemptuously against the righteous. Verse 19. Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. Trusting Him before the sons of men. Making your testimony out loud that you trust in the Lord. Amen? When you've been at your job or your profession, when you have an opportunity to exalt the Lord, not for brownie points, but just that's what comes out of you. Because you've been in the closet, you've been in His presence, and the Holy Spirit just comes out. That's the only answer that there is to these people who are asking. How can you handle what you have? How can you do all that? I trust in the Lord. How do you do that? Well, then you have an opportunity, amen? You have an opportunity. You are a pipeline to the kingdom of heaven. You are a pipeline to the throne, not just to your co-workers, but also to your husband, to your wife, to your kids. You're a pipeline, not a fire hose, but a pipeline, amen? You know, sometimes we're a fire hose, you know, just blowing people away. No, let that be a pipeline, a source. You are a source of the power of God and the love of God. God is not trying to beat people up with you. He is actually trying to be that source of supply to everybody that you have relationship with. It's because you trust Him. Down in verse 22, "For I said in my haste, I am cut off from before thine eyes. Nevertheless, thou heard the voice of my supplication." When it looked like everything was lost, even when it looks like all is lost, like Job. Nevertheless, I love that word. It's a great word. Nevertheless, you know, doesn't matter how bad it looks. "Thou heard the voice of my supplications when I cried unto thee. O love the Lord, ye his saints. The Lord preserves the faithful and plentifully rewards the proud doer. Be of good courage, and he will strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord." You hope in Him. Again, that trust, that hope. Is that trust. It's a fervent expectation that God can do nothing but good for me and will do nothing but good for me. Let's take a look at a few other notable scriptures talking about trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord, Psalm 37 verse 3 says, "Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and truly, verily, thou shalt be fed." So over there in Psalm 37, it starts out with, don't worry about evildoers. Fret not yourself. I love that. Don't fret yourself because of evildoers who seem to prosper in the way. But rather, and don't get nervous when it seems like they're winning. But he says, rather, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. He says, trust in the Lord and do good. Now, this isn't about salvation. Do good so you can be saved. It's trust in the Lord and do good. Doing good, sometimes it seems like that's the hard thing to do because you'd rather pay people back. You'd rather reward them in kind. But he says, trust in the Lord and do good. What does that mean? It means trust in the Lord. That is, when Jesus said, turn the other cheek, or let them take your coat too, you know, or when they made you, the law said, walk with them 1 mile. Well, by golly, I wouldn't walk with them too. Jesus said, walk with them too. So don't you attempt to get payment. Or attempt to get restitution for yourself. He says, trust in the Lord and do good. So you're trusting in the Lord and doing good at the same time. Because it's sometimes doing good is to your own hurt, isn't it? Huh? You know, we want to let the Holy Spirit use me. And when it looks like I'm going to lose, that doesn't mean throw away all your money. It doesn't mean, you know, sell all your stock. But it means listen to the Lord. Listen to His voice. And so, in that way, you will dwell in the land. What land? The land of God. The land of the living. You will dwell in the land, and truly you shall be fed. When God promises a land of milk and honey, you're going to dwell in that land. You know what? Even if you do stuff that looks like it's not going to pay off, God will pay you off. I'm paid off. God pays me off. I don't believe that I can be hurt. Do you? I don't believe I can be hurt. Well, brother, it looks like you've been hurt. No. I'm down there on the ground, you know, bloody, you know, lost everything, you know. Brother, you're looking hurt. No. Everything's going my way. Yeah, Pastor Jim, you know, our former pastor, is with the Lord. He said, what did he say? Pastor Jim, how you doing? Great. Even better. What is it? Perfect. There you go. Perfect. I mean, yeah, that's terrible. You don't want to meet up with a guy like that. A guy who's, how you doing? Perfect. I mean, you know. You know, because he's the worst businessman I ever knew. He put more money in more stuff that fell through. How you do it? Perfect. I'm not telling anything that's not true and that y'all don't know. Amen. He's built to be a pastor. Amen. Not built to be a businessman. And I learned from that. I never put money in anything. I ain't doing it. I said, thank you, Pastor Jim. Dave, you need to invest in this. Yeah. I hadn't heard God on that, brother. Thank God I just didn't have any money back then. Amen. Thank the Lord. Didn't have anything to lose. Amen. All right. Verily, truly, you shall be fed. Psalm 40, verse 3, and He hath put a new song in my mouth. You got one of those? Even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. You should write these references down. These are great. You know. Psalm 40, verse 3. He put a new song in my mouth. Even praise to our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Psalm 73, verse 28. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust, here it is, I have put my trust in the Lord God that I may declare all thy works. So putting your trust in Him gives you freedom of your lips. It looses your lips to say that, hey, God is good, out loud. You don't whisper it. You actually, you know, people will hear you, and they will know that God is good because they're watching you. Because you declare all of His works. Hey, He did this, and He helped me, and He, you know, took care of my family, and He, you know, when my mom died, I got through it. I was not fearful. Psalm 115, verse 10. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. You that fear the Lord, trust in Him. He is their help and their shield. Now Psalm 118 and 9, verses 8 and 9, you know those, right? They're the middle verse of the King James Bible. I say the King James Bible, or the English Bible at least, because it may not work in other. Because you know they put the chapters and the verses in later, so we picked this out because it happened after we put in the verses. But the center verse of the Bible is Psalm 118:8. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Well, thank God. You know, if God put his hand on that to make that the middle verse of the English Bible, which is the most evangelistically used scripture in the world ever, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Next verse, it's better to put trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. Well, of course, that, you know, makes it not only, you know, don't put hope in your family members or your, you know, but it's also don't put trust in the president. Don't put trust in politicians. He'll save us. Trump will save us, you know. Or if you're of another persuasion, Biden will save us, you know. No, they won't save you. Only Jesus, the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, will save you. Psalm 125, verse 1. They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. The kingdom of heaven. It's the Mount Zion. It's the come up to Mount Zion, the house to the house of the Lord, which cannot be removed, but rather abideth forever. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, everybody. Trust, come on. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. Trust in the Lord halfway. Trust in the Lord a little bit. Trust in the Lord with all in. I'm all in. I trust you. Lord, I trust you. Use those words. You know, don't use them lightly. Use them strong. I lean continually, fully, all my weight, all my fear, all my hope, I trust in you, Lord. Proverbs 28, verse 25 says, He that is of a proud heart stirs up strife, but he that puts his trust in the Lord, shall be made fat. Well, I don't know if I want that. He that is of a proud heart stirs up strife. So let's not let our pride, which is, pride is also not trusting in the Lord, right? Pride is, I can handle it. I can handle it, dude. I got it. No, you don't got it. You don't. No, you don't got it. Yeah. I got this. Ooh. And you don't have it. You don't have anything. God says that you have no strength. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Believe Him. I mean, why waste time and effort? Apart from me, you can do nothing. A proud heart stirs up strife. But he that puts his trust in the Lord shall be made fat. You get everything. You got everything. That way you've got plenty to take care of other people's needs and to bless others. Amen. And it may not be money. It may not be supplies. It may just be the love of God. You got to have the love of God. Jesus loved every person. How many know Jesus loved Sadducees? Jesus loved Pharisees. No, he hated them. People like to think, they look in the Bible, it sounds like that he hated Sadducees and hated Pharisees. No, he absolutely loved these guys. He wanted them to hear the liberty and the freedom that comes in the gospel. He wanted, these were his best guys. I mean, they were the guys who were keeping the word of the Messiah, the word, hey, the Messiah's coming. They were keeping his testimony going. But they were putting pressure and burdens on people and collecting money because they got to where they didn't believe it themselves. Jesus loves every single person. How many know you love every single person? How many know you love your enemies? You love the people that, maybe they're not your enemies, but maybe they just irritate the fool out of you. Amen? Anybody got people you irritate? Never, don't say yes. But, you know, nod your head. No, don't do that. Is that people can just make you irritable. Amen? Because they've got their junk. But the problem is, you got yours. How many know you got junk? You got your own troubles, your problems, your things that just bother people. Preachers who preach too long. You know, that bothers you. And I get that. Bothers me too. But he that puts his trust in the Lord shall be made rich or fat. That fatness is talking about wealth in hope, in joy, in singing. In people don't like to hear you sing either, do they? So, but God is for you. And he's using you to love people that are unlovable. And I know what that is, you know, because I mean a lot of the unlovable people, they want to come to the church and they want to sit in your seat. They want to sit next to you. You know, and so you got all God, but God has to give you grace, and he does. He gives you grace for people that appear unlovable. Maybe they're just filthy. Maybe they stink. Maybe they stink not in stinky, but they stink in other ways. Maybe it's the way they talk, and the things that they say. God says, I love that. And so, sad part is, so do you. Do not. Can't make me. No. He comes on the inside and transforms you and changes you. Amen? You are a lover of people. Let the pastor do it. No. God is teaching you to love those people who are right next to you. Amen? He's not teaching you. Let me rephrase that. He's actually doing it in you. He is in you to, Philippians chapter 2, is in you both to will it and to do it. He changes your willer and your doer. That's what he does. And you have joy because you're trusting in the Lord. Last verse, Proverbs 29:25. The fear of man brings a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be saved. So don't be fearful of people, what they think, what they are putting pressure on you to do. The fear of man brings a snare. There's a trap. The fear of man is not just to make you fearful, not to make you kind of do something else, but it's also a trap because the enemy wants to trap you into trusting man. See, part of the fear of man is trusting that man can do something to you. I will not fear what man can do unto me. So the fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoever puts his trust in the Lord shall be saved. Amen? That's a great last verse, isn't it? Whoever puts his trust in the Lord shall be saved. Amen. Father, we just thank you today for teaching us how to lean with all of our weight to put our trust in you. Our reliance to hold us up, to lead us to a green pasture. Thank you that you do that. Father, teach us through your word, these scriptures and more, to trust you for this coming year. We don't know what's happening this coming year. No, nobody does. But we thank you that you're coming soon. and we trust you to walk with us, to show us your grace. Father, we ask you to lead us in trusting you. And we give you praise and we give you thanks for it. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to get a couple of guys to help me with the offering today. Father, we just thank you that as we are preparing for this next year, that Lord God, you teach us also how to give so that the gospel is furnished unto every good work. We give you praise, Lord, for all that you have promised. We put our hope and our trust in you, in the name of Jesus. Thank you for giving us jobs, paying off debts, and taking everything that we need and giving us resource for it, both in the church and in our homes. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, God is good. Let's all stand together.